again to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at our final point from what we were looking at this morning. That is the design of his atonement. And we see that, again, verse 10 and 11 is our text for these thoughts as he describes to us this work of the Lord for us. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. He says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his days, and the pleasure..." I jumped up to verse 10 again. "He shall see the travail of his soul, rather, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." He shall bear their iniquities. And so we look this morning at the purpose of the atonement and the extent of the atonement. And now we see the design of the atonement. And we see in those two verses there that his knowledge, by his knowledge, verse 10, by his knowledge shall he justify, or verse 11 rather, by his knowledge shall he, by righteous servant, justify many. And then verse 10, he says, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. So by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall see his seed. That is his design in this atonement. The Son has came, has come, to seek and to save them which are lost. That's what he declares in the New Testament when he came. He'd come to seek and to save them which are lost, those lost sheep. That's who he's come to find. That, thankfully, has included me. That, thankfully, has included you. Those of you that know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior today, there was a day when he found you. Now, in that finding, it's not that he didn't know where you were at. He knew where you at all along. But in that finding, it was simply to make you know he knew where you were at. And he presents himself to you as he comes and draws you to himself. And so that finding comes in his time, in our day of grace, when he sees fit to bring that grace, that salvation to us. And so the Son, he has given himself, he has given the atonement to save all that the Father gave him to save. All that the Father given him, he's going to save them. Now, since all are not saved, we must conclude then that all were not given to him. It's that simple. All were not given because all are not saved. And he says, all that were given to him, he would save. That's what he declares. And so that the Father, in the covenant of redemption, he gave some of Adam's race to his Son to be redeemed. And we are told that that sum, that many even, that is the word that's used here in verse number 11, that many is an innumerable multitude. An innumerable multitude is what the scripture tells us. Now that, what does that mean? That means a number you and we can't count. Which that's not too hard to get beyond my ability. But it doesn't take too much, you know, before I'm out of fingers and toes. But the Lord's got an innumerable multitude that he has redeemed unto himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is those whom Christ came to save. And we read that in verse number 11. His knowledge, that's the word foreknowledge there. And we see that word used other places in the scripture. And that simply means the knowledge beforehand, or to know beforehand. That's all that means. And so his knowledge, this being a prophecy 700 years before, is declaring he knows whom are his. He knows whom the Father has given him. And so knowing whom the Father has given him, he then knows who he is dying for. It says again, verse number 10, he shall see his seed. He knows who he's giving himself for. He knows who he is paying for. When he is on the cross, giving that payment there, giving himself for the sins of his people, he is thinking of us directly. Direct before we were ever born, before mommy and daddy was ever born, before grandpa and grandpa were ever born. We go on back as many generations as it takes. Before they were ever born, Christ Jesus was thinking of us when he hung in our place on the cross of Calvary. That's the love of our Father. That he knew us. He not only knew us, he planned us, you see. And then provided for us this salvation that is only found in him, that can only come from him. And he's worked all of this for us. It's the reason I've made mention to you before. It's something that thrills my heart to even consider it. My Lord, the very purpose of my Lord coming to this earth, the very purpose of him being here in flesh, was to die for his people. He wasn't coming to set up his perfect kingdom at that time. He was not coming to run Rome out of Israel. He wasn't coming to establish the nation of Israel. That's not what he came to do. He came to die for his people. That was his purpose. That was the thing that he came to do. That was his hour, you see. And so what that tells me is if he did that, and then he tells me here in this passage and several other passages that he was thinking of me. He was looking to me, that he was going to do that work on my behalf 2,000 years ago. What that tells me is my Lord worked all of history these last 2,000 years to make sure that I heard the gospel, to make sure that I was saved. He came and found me. He came and found me. He came and found you. He worked all of history to bring you to himself. He worked all of history to bring you to himself. I love history. Man, I study history. I read over it. I love those big events in history and read about those things, and it just enthralls me as I read those individual stories about what took place here and what took place here and this battle over here and this war that took place here and all the ramifications that took place because of this battle and what changed in world history because this event took place here and this event took place over here. And I look at that and think, and we see all the geopolitical movements and all of the nations that are destroyed and raised up throughout history because of these things happening and these things going on. Those things, all of those events, all of those workings that have taken place these last 2,000 years, these last 6,000 years, all of those events that have taken place are not the main thing in view. It's not what kingdom or what nation or what battle is won here. It's not about any of that stuff there. All of these events, all of these workings are brought to pass. All of them are accomplished to bring salvation to his people. He has worked all of history to bring his grace to us. Those whom he has died for, he knows where they are at. He knows what he is going to do to bring that to pass in their lives. And he has worked all of history to bring his gospel to his people by his foreknowledge. Shall he justify many? He shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. These, that many that he describes there in verse number 11, that is the seed that is being spoken of there in verse number 10. He shall see his seed. Now, if he designed his plan of redemption to save all, then every last person would be saved. God don't fail in what he does. Okay? He does not fail in what he does. And so, if he designed to save all, then all would be saved. And if all then aren't saved, then man, in his wickedness, was able to thwart the eternal purpose of God. And man cannot thwart the eternal purpose of God. Man can't thwart anything about God. We don't have the ability, we don't have the power, we don't have the fortitude, we cannot do it. Listen, Satan cannot do it. No one, no being, no creation has any ability, whether physical or spiritual, no one can thwart the eternal purpose of God. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that God did not intend to save all. He intended to save his people. The many. The elect. That's whom Christ Jesus died for. That's whom God saves. Now look with me. The Bible tells us for whom he died. We'll look at several verses here. Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 28. Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Give his life a ransom for many. Chapter number 1 of Matthew. Verse number 21. Chapter 1, verse number 21. And she, speaking of Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. And so it's the many. It is his people. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And verse number 33. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He calls those many here the elect. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28. So, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So who is it that looks for him? His elect, the one whom he has died for. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's his people that are going to be looking for him. It's his people that know him. That's who's going to be looking for his return. And so it is his elect. It is his people. It is the many there that are looking for him. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, he calls us here sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep. And he has laid on us the iniquity of us all. All of his sheep. Remember, there's never been a sheep that turns into a goat. There's never been a goat that turns into a sheep. Sheep remain sheep. Goats remain goats. And so all those sheep, he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Lord speaks to that in John chapter 10. Go over there and look with me here at several verses that the Lord says concerning his purpose for us. John chapter number 10. Here he calls, he's describing himself as that good shepherd. Love this passage of scriptures. It describes this, gives us this picture of us as his sheep and he as our shepherd. And what he's come to do for us. And he tells us here, verse 11 of John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In other words, I know who my sheep are. My sheep know who I am. And so he declares to us, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, he says, verse 15, even so I know the Father, know I the Father rather, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life, he says, for the sheep. Now, chapter 15 of the book of John, verse number 13. Chapter 15, verse number 13. Here he calls us friends. We're called many, his people, his elect, sheep. And here he calls us his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So here he calls us his friends. His people, this many, was given to him by the Father. Over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we begin reading here in verse, well, we'll go back up to verse number 35. And we'll read down through these verses here as the Lord describes what he has come to do here. His purpose in the flesh. He tells us here, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, stop, pause there just a moment, and listen to what he's telling these Jews that are there questioning him at this point. He tells them, I am the bread of life, and all that the Father giveth me will come to me. He said, you all won't come because you all don't believe. And so what he's telling them there, in that crowd that's there questioning him and asking him these questions, he's telling that crowd, you weren't given to me by my Father. You're not the many. You don't belong to me. Listen to what he says again there. He says, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In other words, if you belong to me, you would believe me, you'd come to me. But they were not. They would not. And so they were not of his people. They were not his sheep, these that were particularly here questioning him at this point. And so he says, verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. All that the Father gave to the Lord Jesus Christ are those he died for. And those he died for, he will lose none of them. So, is there anybody in hell that Jesus died for? No. No, there can't be. There can't be. Because if he died for you, you're paid for. If he died for you, you belong to God. If he died for you, your redemption is done. He declared it from the cross. It is finished. It is finished. It's not based upon me. It's not based upon you. It is only based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. My salvation is wholly in my Lord. Wholly in him. I didn't do anything for it. He did it all for me. He drew me unto himself. He gave me faith to believe. He paid the penalty of my sin. He gave me his grace. He did every part of my salvation. And by the way, he's the one that keeps me. He's the one that keeps me. He did it all. Every part, he did it all. There is no part I did. Because if there was any part that Clint did, then Clint could say, look what I did. And there is nothing that Clint can say. The only thing I can do is point to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's done. This is the salvation he has given. This is the sins that he has washed. He did it all. And all that were given him, he will lose none of them. He will lose none. He says again, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. So, who are the elect? It is those who believe. Those who see Christ Jesus and believe on him, that's who the elect are. Those that come to him, that's who the elect are. It's very simple. Charles Spurgeon said, the whosoever wills are the elect of God. That's as simple as it is. Yes, it is a whosoever will gospel. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. That's exactly how the gospel is set up. Who's going to come? His people. Who's going to believe? His people. They are the whosoever wills, you see. And so he says, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41, it says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Listen to this, verse 44 is very important. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. He said, you all won't believe. You see me and you won't believe. And you will not come to me. And you won't come to me because the Father has to draw you first. And the only ones he's going to draw are the ones I'm dying for. Those whom he has given him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And you know something that is common? This is common for everyone who has Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Every single one of us, we know what it is to be drawn by the Spirit of God. Oh, the struggle of salvation as he makes known to us our sin, as he shows us who we are without him, as he shows us the penalty of sin that is on us, and the depression and the pain and the desire that come through us as we see ourselves at last as God sees us as sinners. And then our desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when at last he makes known Christ to you all, let me tell you, every child of God knows what it is to be drawn by God to Christ. What a wondrous, wondrous blessing that God allows us to go through that time to bring us unto himself. That we can see, that we can know what it is to have Christ. That we can see that the starkness of that position of where once we are lost and undone in sin and now in Christ, made his own, that redemption made known to us at last. What a difference that is as our Lord brings that understanding to us. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 17 again. We looked at a few of these verses this morning, some of these that are written herein. We read in verse number 2. This again is our Lord's prayer, high priestly prayer for his people. And part of it, we read in the first part, he is praying for those that are believers then, that are with him then, and those that would come after, which would be you and I, of course, because none of us was around John 17, so we're after this prayer here. He says, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. To as many as thou hast given him. There's a particular group, a particular people. There is that many that the Lord Jesus died for, that was given to him to purchase unto the Father. He says in verse number 6, I have manifested thy name, we read this one this morning, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Then he says, verse 9 and 10, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, he says, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. It says in verse 11 and verse 12 there, he says, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And the scripture, of course, tells us that fulfillment of that was that the son of perdition was not one given to him by the Father. He was not one of his. Judas didn't have salvation and lost it. Judas didn't have no salvation. That's just the reality. He's fulfilling scripture here. And so he says there, verse number 24, the next turn the page over toward the end there, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Does God the Father, does he answer the prayers of Christ? Jesus said, I want those that you've given me to be with me. You think that's answered? I know it's answered. That's exactly what Christ Jesus accomplished. It's exactly what he accomplished. Those that were given him will be with him. Those he died for, he says, I will lose nothing. I will lose nothing. Chapter 18 and verse number 9. John 18, verse number 9. Well, let me read verse number 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest to me. Have I lost none? Have I lost none? This is the seed that he saw there in verse number 10 of our text. He shall see his seed. He shall see his seed from eternity past and from Calvary. He shall see his seed. He knows who his people are. Christ Jesus has bought a multitude that no man can number. The scripture tells us it is an innumerable multitude. He has died for sinners. And whosoever inwardly and sorrowfully knows himself to be a sinner, Christ died for him. Whoever seeks Christ will know that Christ Jesus died for him. For our sense of Christ and our seeking after Christ are infallible proofs that Christ Jesus died for me, for you, for us. And that's the reason, again, Charles Spurgeon could say, the whosoever wills are the elect of God. For those that seek him, those that desire him, those that want him will have him, and they will have him because they are his. That is who he died for. That is who he died for. His people. Now, I won't, just for sake of time, we won't get into this evening, but there are verses that people simply struggle with and cannot get around in their thinking. Wait a minute. How can this be when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life"? Is that a contradiction of what I've been talking about today? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Wait a minute. But he says in Peter there, wait a minute, he says there that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that a contradiction? Absolutely not. Because that verse is so often taken out of context. You've got to read the first part of that verse. Who is he talking to? He says to usward who believe. To usward. Who's the usward? Peter tells us that in the first chapter. The elect. That's whom he's talking about there. So the scripture's not contradicting at all what I'm talking about here. This is what the scripture is declaring to us. God has a people. He knows who his people are. I have no idea who they are. The only one I can state for sure is me. That's the only one, because he's come to me. He's declared it to me, and that's the only one I can truly say. And if you're saved today, you're the only one who knows that between you and God. I mean, he said we can know each other by our fruits and so on, but still that's just a guess for each other. God knows who his people are. And he has redeemed every last one of them in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will bring every last one of them to himself. He will lose nothing. Every single one of his seed will be saved. Every single one whom the Lord Jesus died for will come to him. He said, "I will lose nothing. All that the Father giveth me, I will lose nothing." The Lord Jesus Christ has saved all that the Father had given him. He has redeemed every single one of them. And all his sheep will be brought into the fold. There will not be any missed. Every last one will be brought in. He has come, he says, to seek and to save them which are lost. And let me tell you, he is an awesome shepherd. Because he don't leave any sheep in the field. He gets all that are his. Let's go to him in a word of prayer now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace to us, your mercy, Father. We praise you for these things. Father, we're so thankful for this salvation that we realize we have no ability to work in ourselves, no ability that we can accomplish any part of it, that you have accomplished it all for us, and we praise you for this. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for this payment that was given in Christ Jesus our Lord for us. Thank you, Father, that you knew us from the foundations of the earth to redeem us unto yourself, to make this provision of grace for us. We praise you. Father, thank you that you are such a big God. Go with us now as we spend this time in our business. Help us in all that we do, that we honor and glorify your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.